Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Age of Radio. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Because it's sports talk with Cooper and Big Man.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for Sports Talk with Cooper and Big Man. This is Big Man. Joining me, as always, is my brother Cooper. Cooper, how are you enjoying our new Season 7?
Season 7, baby. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. Man, it's been a while, man. We've had a lot going on over the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
The water heater's on the fritz, so yep. Things around here have been kind of crazy. But we're ready to get back to this, and... Okay. And give you guys some football talk, baby.
Yes, sir. Absolutely love it. Hope you all had Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we hope you're already having a good start to your New Year's.
Yes, Happy New Year's.
Let's get going.
Let's do this.
So we're gonna start off with the NFL standing. Sorry, it's been a while, obviously.
NFC. We go with the AFC first, brother.
That's right. But the entire NFL standings. Here
yes,
we go.
Yes, sir.
In the AFC East, the Bills and Patriots are tied at the top of the division at 10-6 with a .625 win percentage. The Dolphins are 8-8 with a .500 win percentage. The Jets are 4-12 with a .250 win percentage. In the AFC North, the Bengals are 10-6 and division champs with a .625 win percentage. The Steelers are 8-7-1 with a .531 win percentage, still holding on for dear life to that playoff slim chance they still have. The Ravens are 8-8 and virtually eliminated from the playoffs at .500. And the Browns are also eliminated from playoff contention at 7-9 with a .438 win percentage. News today from Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport that Baker Mayfield will have shoulder surgery and will be officially out next week as Cleveland has nothing to play for. In the AFC South, the Titans have clinched that division as well as they are 11-5 with a .688 win percentage. The Colts are 9-7 with a .563 win percentage. The Texans are 4-12 with a .250 win percentage, and the Jaguars are 2-14 with a .125 win percentage. In the AFC West, the Chiefs are 11-5 with a .688 win percentage. The Chargers and Raiders will be on Sunday Night Football against each other next week as they will battle for a final spot in the AFC playoffs, as they're both 9-7 with a .563 win percentage, and the Broncos have been eliminated from playoff contention, are 7-9. With a .438 win percentage. And the Chiefs and Texans will be battling for the first spot. They're not going to be facing each other next week, but if the Titans lose, Chiefs win. Chiefs will get the one seed. If the Titans win and the Chiefs both win, or the Titans win, Chiefs lose, or tie, they will be the number one seed in the AFC. The NFC East, the Cowboys have won that division. They already locked that up actually last week. They are 11-5 with a .688 win percentage. The Eagles are 9-7 with a .563 win percentage and clinched their spot in the playoffs. So you were right about that. I was dead wrong on them.
Hey, man, the Eagles are doing good, and they're building a good team, man.
Yeah.
Playoffs, baby, that's what's up.
Absolutely. All right, and the Washington football team may not be that team team name much longer. Finished 6-10. They are 6-10 with a 375 win percentage. Are out of the playoff contention. The Giants, of course, have been eliminated already. They're 4-12 with a .250 win percentage. The Packers won on Sunday Night Football. We'll talk about that in a little bit and clinched the number one seed in the NFC playoffs seedings. Are 13-3 division champs of the North at 8-13. The Vikings, I believe, have been officially eliminated with that loss to the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Are 7-9 with a .438 win percentage. The Bears are 6-10. Were already eliminated with a .375 win percentage. The Lions, as we all know, have already been eliminated with a 2-13-1 record now with a .156 win percentage. In the NFC South Division, the Buccaneers are 12-4 division champs with a .750 win percentage. The Saints, I believe, have a slim chance of still making the playoff, though they need some help with the Rams win and the Niners loss, I believe, to get there, are 8-8 and .500. The Falcons are 7-9 with a .438 win percentage, and the Panthers are 5-11. Both those teams were eliminated. The Panthers' win percentage is .313. Out west in the NFC, the Rams are currently on top of the division at 12-4 with a .750 win percentage, needing a win next week against the Niners to clinch the division. The Cardinals are 11-5 with a .688 win percentage. They need the Niners to upset the Rams and also to win their game to win the NFC West. The Niners are 9-7, looking to get to 10 wins against the Rams next week with a .563 win percentage. The Seahawks are 6-10, already eliminated from playoff contention, are the .375 win percentage. So there you have it on the standings. Are you ready to talk some news?
Let's do it, brother. Let's do it.
Oh, yes. Well, the College Football Playoff Committee managed to screw over the fans yet again. By purposely putting Georgia and Alabama on opposite sides of the playoff bracket, the fans now have to suffer through the SEC title rematch in the College Football Playoff Championship game. Instead of having that rematch in the semifinals where it belonged, this ends up being what the playoff was meant to prevent. The only silver lining may end up being the being playoff expansion at some point, only though if they properly cap the SEC by having Power 5 conference champs in, followed by three top three at-large teams, which I doubt is going to happen that way anyways, but I think then possibly also giving the remaining conferences champions who have the best record or highest top 25 ranking, and leaving any independent school an opportunity based off their top 25 ranking. But that's probably not what is going to happen. But so, here we go. The SEC Playoff Invitational comes down to two SEC teams.
Yeah, man. We knew from the get-go with this that it was going to be rigged. There was no way that the SEC wasn't going to find some way of rigging this. And I think that's where you and I were irritated with the way they came out with this playoffs, you know, schedule thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
And so. I just don't like that you took the two SEC teams instead of putting them, making them rematch right there in the semifinal, knocking each other out, basically.
So that you can face somebody from
either the Big Ten,
yeah,
the Cincinnati school, if, you know, anybody else. But no, you isn't there, and you made it so they're on opposite ends, and knowing that there was a possibility. The whole reason for the playoff was to prevent this. Because remember, this happened in the BCS when Alabama had to face LSU again after they faced each other in the SEC title game that year.
And see, the thing is, they think that football fans are stupid and we don't see this.
Right.
But we see it. Absolutely. And it's bullcrap. And it's,
you know,
they need to do something different with this.
That's why I still think that my way is the smartest way. 8 super regional conferences, regionally sensible conferences, where you have 8 champions as your 8 spots.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. Because then you can't tell me that it's not, because you don't have a subcommittee, you don't have a committee that puts their bias on anything. It's on the field, and every game will matter because you have to win your championship, conference championship, or you're not getting in.
Yeah.
That's basically it. And you can technically say, well, I technically have 16 teams in the playoff if you want to technically count the conference championship games as a technical play-in round. So technically you have 16, honestly, because if you are in your conference championship game, that's basically a playoff move and you go on to the playoffs. Well, that's basically a round, technically. That's how I view it, but, you know, whatever. It just irritates me, though, because, don't get me wrong, Bama, yes, deserved to be there. Georgia definitely deserved to be there, but I think they should have been put on the same side of the bracket. Putting them on opposite ends was stupid.
But the only good thing about this game is Georgia now has a shot at redemption. So it's going to be a good game to watch, that's for sure, as long as Georgia comes to play.
Yeah. I swear to God, if the NFL follows suit and I have to have suffer through Patriots, Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, I will revolt. NFL. I've seen how your refs have been doing things in the NFL too. NFL. Just saying. If I see it, I'm going to be pissed. Anyway, so let's move on from that. That was just a little irritation thing I had to get out of the way. All right, so the end of an era in Pittsburgh. Quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger has possibly played his final home game of his career. He would lead the Steelers to a 26-14 win over the Cleveland Browns, as he has the fourth best overall record versus a single opponent for any quarterback in NFL history. His final record against the Browns ended up 26-3-1. His final game could be in Baltimore against heated rival foe, the Ravens, though the Steelers do still have that chance for the playoffs.
Man, I hope they make it to the playoffs, but, I mean, it was a... It was a very somber win last night. Mm-hmm. It, for me, being someone that's watched his career from NU, watched his career from the beginning to the very end, it's like the end of an era. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only quarterback left me playing in the NFL right now that we've watched since we were kids is Tom Brady.
It's Tom flipping Brady.
So, this... I was hoping that Big Ben would outlast Tom Brady, but sounds like he's going to have to break a hit before he's dead.
Can you give me that in the playoffs? Can you give me that, God? Come on, just give me that. And can we just have them both going out technically at the same time? Just
well, I mean, we can't get me to go to the game and train.
Oh, God, if I could afford the playoff ticket, I would. Just saying. If I could afford a ticket, if they're playing at home next... Are they playing... I think they're playing Panthers. If I get a 14, hey, Mike, never mind. You won't want to go.
You won't want to. He's probably going, but he ain't going to go with you.
No, he ain't going to go with you.
Or that, yeah. Because I have this weird thing about me.
You do.
Yeah.
I don't want to find out if that's an actual thing you have or if it was just coincidence. Let's just hope it was coincidence and never speak of it. How about that?
Yeah.
And I swear, if you say anything tomorrow night, I'm going to beat you if something happens. Anyways, good thing we're rooting for the right team.
Yes.
When we're there. Anyways, this is weird, though. It was emotional, kind of sad. And it was hard because he had so many completions, but his yards wasn't there. He had only, one touchdown, I think?
Yeah, he had how many
He had like 20.
How many attempts in the first half?
He had like 34.
34 or something like that.
So it was just hard, man. It's just like it wasn't a bad. It's not. He's been a shot fighter for a long time, and it's just to see him go out as a shot fighter. Still, I was hoping maybe he had one more like epic game in that arm. Maybe he'll do it next week in Baltimore. I would have rather him done it in front of the home crowd and Pittsburgh, but
against the Browns.
I mean, especially against the Browns, because, you know. But then again, their rival is basically Baltimore, since they moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. So, it was hard. We're going to talk about how I'm looking forward to what's going on after this, because it's going to be interesting to see what happens this offseason for the Steelers.
Yeah, it's going to be... another podcast where we're going to be talking about this and different moves they could make and, you know,
how what we think they should do, what they might end up doing, rumor mills and all that. Though I did love this. I wanted to say this real quick. I was watching The Hurt earlier, and Colin Coward had Brian Billick, who was the Ravens head coach that won them their first Super Bowl and all that, and was there for a good portion of Ben's career at the beginning as his rival head coach. But he said that, you know, it was the Ravens who took out Tommy Maddox that got Roethlisberger in his rookie year.
Yeah.
And he said, if I would have known how good Roethlisberger was going to be, he's like, he, you know, he wasn't Roethlisberger yet, but he was not overwhelmed by the situation that he was thrust upon, that was thrust upon him either. But he said, if I would have known now what I, if I would have known then what I know now, I would have set a no touch rule on Tommy Maddox.
I remember Tommy Maddox.
I do too. He wasn't a bad quarterback. He
wasn't great.
No, he wasn't great at all. But he wasn't bad.
Yeah, he wasn't bad either.
But he also wasn't Roethlisberger.
No.
But man, you guys sure rode that bus though.
That we did, didn't we?
Yeah. And then you had a Big Ben on top of it. All right. So, Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin has guaranteed himself another season without a losing record with that win over the Browns. Tomlin has led the Steelers to 15 straight non-losing seasons to begin his coaching career, which set an NFL record. Fans grumble about the coach. Not you. I'm not saying you. It's just fans in general.
We've got those sour pusses out there that want to run their mouth.
Yes. But yet he is the pillar of consistency as a head coach. And he'll now have an opportunity to either groom a new QB of his choosing, because that's still a possibility in the draft. We're just saying it's not out of the realm. Or work with another QB already in the league. Rumor mill, you know, Aaron Rodgers could possibly be, you know, just saying.
Russell Wilson, maybe.
I don't think Russell's going to go to Pittsburgh, honestly.
I think that would be cool, though.
It would be cool, but I don't think you're going to get that.
Probably not. But
because Sierra wants to go to a big city.
He's exactly who I'd want.
I know, but you're probably not going to get that. Anyways, so it'll be interesting to watch what the Steelers do going forward after this season. Cooper, besides Russell Wilson. On top of your wish list,
Tomlin's been a pillar of what a coach should be in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when rumor mills came out that, you know, he may get the SC job,
mm-hmm.
you know, he shut that down real quick.
Oh yeah,
real quick. And I mean, he has this mentality about him. It's just he's no shit. Taking, giving, none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a dude that, you know, if I could play football, I'd want to play for Mike Tomlin.
Right. And I know everybody gave him a hard time for letting Antonio Brown go for as long as he did the way he
but
was
going.
But
you see the way he's acting.
Right. We've seen that. But I was just going to say, but see, he loves this player so much. He just wanted to, because he knew. He knew the talent was there.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be the coach that helped him turn it back around and back to, hey, we're good. We're on the straight and narrow. Yeah. But he knew it wasn't going to happen anymore. He's like, and he finally went up to his GM and the president and anybody who would listen to him and go, I can't deal with this anymore. He's got to go.
Yeah.
But Tomlin gave him chance after chance because he's a player's coach. He loves his players. And he wanted to be that guy, but he saw the friction starting to really get between him and Roethlisberger. You know you're not getting rid of Roethlisberger, obviously, because he's about to retire now anyways. But, you know, he's not going anywhere. He already had the issues with Le'Veon Bell. But he tries to be there for his players, and he gave him opportunity after opportunity. And look, Brown still got opportunity after opportunity beyond that, but we're not going to get into that.
But this just shows you, too, his capability of bringing players in
mm-hmm.
and making them superstars, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, full-on making them superstars.
Yes.
Because Le'Veon Bell,
mm-hmm.
before his little drama meltdown, whatever.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown,
mm-hmm.
before his little drama meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
He groomed them guys.
Yes, he did.
And he made them who they were.
Yeah. Well, look what he's done with Juju. Look what he's doing with Chase Claypool.
Claypool, yeah.
Look what he's doing with Deontay Johnson, you know.
Yeah.
What's his name?
And Ray-Ray McCloud.
Ray-Ray McCloud. I was going to say J.J. McCloud for some reason. Yeah, it's Ray-Ray. It's Ray-Ray. But, you know, he's just... And
Freiermuth.
And Freiermuth is coming along just nicely. And as a rookie, he's already showing great potential. And yeah, he's just a rookie. It's great. The only one that really hadn't worked out was it James Washington, the wide receiver?
Yeah. He's still there, but
he's obviously...
He's not, like, a big part of the offense like he was.
He's not bypassed exponential, which sucks, because I was like, James Washington was talented in college. I don't know what's going on with him. But he has not built a rapport with Roethlisberger at all, unlike Claypool and Juju.
Let's not just talk about the offense. Let's talk about the defense, dude.
Mm-hmm. It's defense. That's where his specialty is.
Can you imagine if we still had Ryan Shazier?
Oh, God. Your defense would be a nightmare if you had Ryan Shazier still.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Him and J.J. Watt?
T.J.
Or T.J. That's right. Sorry. J.J., T.J.
Just because it was your dream to get J.J. this offseason.
I wanted J.J. and T.J.
I wanted that all three of
the Watt brothers together.
Yeah, because Derek is in Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not saying anything negative about TJ in this aspect, because I know he was tired, and it was obvious because he was still trying to go for that sack record last night. But honestly, I would have been on the kneel down team. I would have ran back out on the kneel down team to just be out there with Ben. Even if I was a defensive guy, I wouldn't have cared if I was the fourth stringer. I'm like, I'm gonna be out there with Ben. It's his last moment. I want to be there.
Yeah. It was very, very somber, and it's just kind of crazy to watch him from the beginning all the way to the end of his career. And
but you other Steelers fans, get over Tomlin. He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere, and you know what? We may have some hiccups here or there with some players, but if you look at that team as a whole, they are very talented.
Yeah, and think about this. I believe it's almost, we're going close to now 60 years in your franchise's history, you've had three head coaches. Tomlin was the third in that 60 years. You went from Chuck Knoll to Cower, thank you. I was like, Chin, Cower, there it is, to Tomlin. 60 years, three head coaches.
And how many Super Bowls? How many?
Seven.
How many?
Six.
It's six.
Six.
It's six.
Yes.
But still, that is amazing, dude.
Six Super Bowls. Yeah, I mean, you've been to nine, I believe.
Yeah.
Should have more.
Yeah.
Saying. Couldn't beat Aaron Rodgers. Sure could beat Kurt Warner, though, when you needed to.
And then there's that.
Balls. Anyways. Then I wouldn't have to care about Arizona anymore. At all, weird. Anyways, so y'all just need to get over Tomlin, because he's not going anywhere. The Rooney family just doesn't dump coaches in 15 straight years of non-losing records. That's gonna keep you in.
Look at the look at the stats, people. Look at the people he's brought into this organization.
Yep.
Look at when Tomlin goes to retire, they better build that man a statue.
They better. Right next to the chin.
Here. Yep, exactly.
All right, so the Washington football team announced via their social medias that the team will reveal their new branding on February 2nd. It's been a long, strange year and a half of the football team, and now we have a possibility of a new branding. Though it was teased, there is still a chance of the team using the football team name too, which makes no sense to me. Hopefully that will not be the case, as their hype video released earlier today states that the team... that the team name will embrace the team's heritage as well as the Washington, D.C. community. Hurry up February 2nd and get here already. I'm tired of this crap.
Yeah. I hope whatever they do, they just stay within the guidelines of the Native American, you know, culture.
Right.
Something to do with, you know, an animal or some sort of something that has something to do with the culture.
Right. Or just switch over and go to the Washington Sentinels and honor the replacements. There you go. The movie The Replacements.
There you go.
And get Keanu Reeves to quarterback one game. Jay Falco.
Falco.
Or Joe Falco if you're or
yeah, you guys can you know, pick up Matt Ryan, or is it no, get Flacco. Falco. Flacco and Falco.
He went like 5 years of refusing to call Flacco by his real last name. They're calling him Joe Falco. I'm like, bro, it's Falco. You're like, no, it's Falco. I'm like, no, it's Flacco.
Dude, they were picking on it for a while there too, called him Falco.
So were you for five years of his career. Took him winning a Super Bowl. You went, fine, I'll call him Flacco, stupid Raven. All right. So the best game, though, from the NFL weekend was the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Burrow led a second-half comeback as he finished 30 of 39 for 446 yards and four touchdowns, a majority of which went to Ja'Marr Chase, who now is hands down the leader for Offensive Rookie of the Year, as he went off for 11 catches, 266 yards, and three touchdowns. A very strange goal line series of events occurred late in the game that resulted in the final tally of 34-31, as the Bengals would outscore the Chiefs 17-3 in the second half. Burrow is getting some late MVP hype, but it may be too little too late, as Aaron Rodgers has probably sewn that up after a bit of tailing off by Tom Brady the past few weeks. The win did give the Bengals the AFC North Division title.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it'll give him the MVP. But they've had a pretty damn good year, dude. Mm-hmm. And Ja'Marr Chase, what's in your Wheaties, bro? I really want to know. What's in your Wheaties, man? What you been doing, bro?
I'm just saying. A lot of people said they needed to get an offensive lineman. I'm not saying I wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
I didn't kill them. I said I could see getting Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, because he's fast enough.
He was Joe Burrow's teammate, so mm-hmm. You know the chemistry's there. I'm like, but I just don't see them. It just didn't seem like a Bengals move to me, honestly. It just doesn't seem like that would be the move you'd make. Yeah. They ended up doing it, which is like, whoa, okay. Okay, we'll see what you did there. Like, hopefully your offensive line holds up. And boy, howdy, has this turned into a three-headed monster receiving core between Chase, Taj Boyd, and T. Higgins.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
It's just crazy, brother. Crazy. The Bengals, oof.
Boy, if they get... I'm not saying that their current tight end is not... I don't remember who exactly it is. That's part of the reason. But if they get a tight end that's just like a vertical tight end.
Oh, yeah.
That offense is going to become real scary. Plus, you got Joe Mixon as a really good running back.
Pretty good team, dude. Pretty good team.
Don't get me wrong. If the Steelers get Aaron or somehow can pull off Russell Wilson, this is going to be war between the Bengals and the Steelers moving forward.
Oh, yes.
A war. Because there's no way that this is going to be pretty between those two. If the Steelers can get one of those quarterbacks and don't have to groom a quarterback.
See, the problem is I think that you know, Aaron might go to, you know, the Broncos. I don't know. He might. But we'll see what happens with it.
Just depends on what Denver offers compared to what the Steelers offers.
What I love about it is no matter what team he goes to, he's going to a prestigious team.
True. Weird because he's leaving a prestigious team to go to another prestigious team.
Hey, man, it's Green Bay's fault, dude.
Yeah, it is.
So, whatever.
Well, that's an off-season talk for later. We got plenty of off-season football talk. There's a lot of fascinating stories coming out this off-season that I can't wait to talk about. But first, let's get to the rest of the games from Sunday, shall we?
Let's do it, brother.
The Dolphins' winning streak came to a screeching halt in Tennessee as they got blown out by the Titans 34-3. The Jaguars continued to struggle mightily as they got thrashed in New England by the Patriots 50-10. Tom Brady had to lead a comeback against the Jets without Antonio Brown. If you don't know what happened there, I suggest you check it out on YouTube.
Winning social media, it's all over the place.
Yeah. Winning 28-24. For the first time this season, Matthew Stafford threw a pick six, but the Rams would still pull off the victory 20-19 against the Ravens in Baltimore.
Almost giving you a heart attack.
I really think that's his goal right now, is to just give me a heart attack, because that's what it seems like. He's just like, I'm trying to figure out how we threw three picks last week. We won. And then he sits there and turns around and throws a pick six in this game, and we win. I don't know. We're 5-game winning streak. I'm okay with it so for now, but I swear to God, I'm going to end up dead by the end of the season. As long as if I die, they better just win the Super Bowl for me. The Falcons clung to a 1-point lead at halftime in Buffalo over the Bills, but would be shut out in the second half as the Bills would rally to win 29-15. The Chicago Bears finally put together a good game and trounced the Giants 29-3 that saw Robert Quinn break the Bears' single-season sack record. Which is amazing because the Bears' defense has always had some good players. Lately, Brian Urlacher. Just saying.
Yeah.
That's pretty good company to be doing. It was actually Richard Dent back in 1984. So it wasn't even Dent setting the record in 85 when they went to the Super Bowl, when that defense was the greatest defense probably ever. Maybe matched by the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, just saying. But that's impressive. Definitely especially since Quinn is also 31 years old.
Yeah.
And my stupid-ass team decided, hey, Robert Quinn, come out to L.A., do some community work, and then we're going to release you, buddy. What the fuck happened there? Anyways. Miss Robert Quinn. Miss Bob. Anyways. All right. So, let's see here. The Raiders just kept finding ways to win recently and did so again, this time in Indy against the Colts, 23-20. What the hell? If they could win at home as well as they do on the road, they'd actually have a better record.
Right?
Because they seem to play better off the strip. Just saying. Vegas has not been that
probably kind of because they're too busy partying when they're home, man.
Ironically,
what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, baby.
Ironically,
obviously early morning those too.
Yeah, early morning they have had issues because another DUI charge for somebody from the Raiders organization.
Oh Lord!
You would have think what happened with Henry Ruggs. You might not want to be driving drunk,
right?
Just saying, that's bad optics. Raiders need to figure something out.
Now, who was it this time?
It was a rookie corner.
Still not good though.
No. I mean, basically, a man's life is now ruined because he was drinking behind the wheel and now has a manslaughter charge against him. Because he killed somebody. Just saying. Don't get me wrong. I drink, but I try not to get behind a wheel.
Yeah. It's that simple. Don't drink and drive. That simple.
Yeah.
Because you're getting out there and you're going to hurt somebody. You're going to hurt yourself, hurt somebody else.
There's Uber. There's Lyft, or drink at home. Or there's still taxi services. Just saying.
Especially in a big city. Come on, there's no excuse for it.
There's not, really. Anyways, before we go on another tangent about something that's out of our control.
All right, let's go.
The Eagles clinched a playoff spot with a victory over the Washington football team 20-16. Herbert and the Chargers kept their playoff hopes alive with a big win over the Broncos 34-13. The 49ers also kept their playoff hopes alive despite having to be led by Trey Lance. Not saying that was a bad thing. Just saying Garoppolo being hurt usually is not a good thing for the Niners, but it ended up being okay because they played the Texans. So they won 22-7. The Cardinals had to stave off a late comeback attempt by the Cowboys at Jerry World, winning 25-22. Saints trying to keep their own playoff hopes alive, as well as they beat the Panthers 18-10. I'm not sure how they're winning with their quarterback situation, but they just do. Sean Payton, can we get the man another quarterback that's healthy and competent? And watch the Saints go back into dominating that division again.
Yeah.
Just saying. I don't know how they're Tom Brady's kryptonite in the regular season either. It's unbelievable. Just weird. All right. Hey, go away. Anyways, the Seahawks finally looked like they're a complete team, though, against the Lions as they rolled 51-29. And Aaron Rodgers and the Packers locked up the number one seed and a bye week in the playoffs with the trouncing of the Vikings 37-10 on Sunday Night Football. That wasn't even a game. I tried to watch it, hoping that the Vikings pull off the miracle in Lambeau. Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close. I gave up. I it got to halftime, and I'm just like, yeah, they locked up the one seed. I'm done. It moved on. I'm just like, I'm done. And then Najee Harris had to make me lose my playoff game.
Some good games this week. Some good games, man.
Any of those games stick out to you?
Well, how about a player? How about some Cooper Kupp?
Cooper. That's they called him Cooper for some reason. Cooper Kupp. Yeah, man. 135 yards away from breaking the single season receiving yards record. Though he's claiming that it should be an asterisk since he didn't do it in 16. And I said, listen here, bud. There was a time they played 14 regular season games in the NFL, and I think at one time they played 12 before that. You're going to be fine. Get over the asterisk crap. The asterisk is stupid. We did this with Babe Ruth in the home run, single season home run record on against Roger Maris. Roger Maris ended up dying before he was awarded the freaking record. It's stupid. All right? Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, yes. But he beat Hall of Fame wide receivers because they had only 14 games and he had 16. Granted, a lot of the good ones were in the 16-game era. Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, yada yada, Isaac Bruce, yada yada, and all that stuff. I'm just saying.
Oh, and how about this? Torrey Holt.
Yeah, Torrey Holt, another one. Love Torrey Holt. How is he not in the Hall of Fame yet? Hall of Fame, I got problems with you on that. Also, we want to pay a little bit of homage to the passing of John Madden. It's a very sad day because to me, that is the voice of the NFL. I know a lot of people like Steve Sable and what they've done over at the NFL Network, but when it came to game days on Sunday, Pat Summerall and John Madden were the team.
That's what we grew up with, man. That was amazing. You know, he was just the character, dude. I mean, every story you've ever heard about John Madden, he just... I mean, can you imagine getting injured and then just thrusting your way into the NFL as a head coach and doing all the things that he's done? It's just... The man is amazing. He'll be forever missed.
Because
I know a lot of people, they jump to Madden. They jump to the video game. No. No, we got to watch Madden before Madden was the video game. So.
Well, no, the video game was out before we were...
But you know what I mean. We got to actually watch him commentate. We got to watch him...
Before its real popularity. Yes.
Yeah.
We got to be in the announcing career of Madden, and of course there's a generation before us that are going. We were there when he was coach of the Raiders.
Yeah, there's my dad for you.
And we respect that. And we respect that. Unfortunately, he retired before either of us were born, which sucks. So we didn't get to see Coach Madden.
But everything you've seen as far as highlights, things like that go, it's like, man, this man was amazing. And it's just to see a man with such a big heart and a love for the game and the things that he has done for football as a whole, man, it's a big loss.
The only man to cover a Super Bowl for all four major networks. NBC, CBS, Fox, and ABC.
Just crazy, brother.
Weird thing about it. And that won't even be matched because ESPN has the Super Bowl and they only rotate it between the three of them. Fox, CBS, and NBC. So, never even matched. If you haven't seen the documentary All Men, I recommend it. Watched it, loved it. It's great. It's great to hear the stories. And I'm very happy that they got it done to give him his honor while he was alive. He got to see it. Of course, he was part of the whole thing. And then he got to actually see it put together and everything before his passing a few days after Christmas.
Yeah, man.
So,
And how about this, while we're still on it, even though she's not a part of anything, how about Betty White, man?
Oh, yes.
Whew.
Yeah.
The last golden girl.
The very last golden girl. Unfortunately, couldn't make it to the triple digits.
Very close.
Very close. Very close. 2 weeks out. But really odd to have a world now where Betty White's not in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
It is.
Because she was still, even late in her life, so in the spotlight in some way.
Yeah, so vibrant and just, you know.
So it's just like, wow, it's weird that you'll know that Betty White's not in anything, won't do any voice, won't be in a voiceover work, won't make a cameo in some TV show or movie or anything now. Or even just be in a series like Hot in Cleveland when it was going.
Yeah, man, it's just...
It's really strange. It's like, oh yeah, Betty White, you know? Freaking 90 whatever now. It's great. And I was like, what? Betty, I honestly thought it was going to be one of those weird viral things that take off and it was fake.
That's what I thought it was when I first saw it. And then I had my sister message me, and then my mom. Then I went online, started looking around. I'm like, crap.
Right?
No.
Not Betty. It's hard to believe that she's was older than sliced bread. Couldn't buy sliced bread in a store. You had to slice it yourself. Weird to think about that.
Just crazy, brother.
Yeah. Leaving the queen as the longest reigning woman now. Most known woman now.
Yeah.
Sure, there's older women than the queen, but I'm just saying when it came to popularity and knowing, it's now the queen of England. We're going to miss that golden girl. We're going to miss John Madden, of course. Honestly, Madden hasn't really been the same without his voiceover work in the game. I've actually basically stopped listening to the commentary. I did listen to it a little bit when Michaels kept going with Chris Collinsworth, but then when they dropped Michaels and Collinsworth after whatever, I don't know if they just couldn't come to an agreement or whatever it was. I basically tuned out the commentary, and I'll either have music or a show on in the background that I don't have to actually watch, a sports talk show or something, you know, like The Herd or something like that. I'll have it on while I'm just playing Madden without sound, because if it's not John, it's not really the same. It wasn't really the same without him when I was listening to just Michaels and Collinsworth, but nothing against Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels are a great team too, but I mean, the reason why it's called John Madden's football, or Madden, is because of the man himself. He was a man who delayed the game two years because he refused to put his name on a game that didn't have actual 11-on-11 football in it. He said he would not put his name on it if it wasn't real football.
There you go.
So, all right, man. That does it for us here at Sports Talk. We'll be back again shortly. We're hoping Thursday with AEW Talk, or we might have a special. Depends on how we're doing. Because we'll be at a basketball game tomorrow night. Gainesville, baby. We'll be watching the Gators taking on Alabama.
It's going to be very interesting, dude. My first time ever going to a basketball game, so this will be fun for me.
Yes, sir. It's going to be fun on the moon.
Yeah.
My first Gator game of any kind. I have never been to a Gator game at all, so this is going to be interesting. So you've at least been to a spring game.
Yeah.
So you've got that going for you.
We should go to the shoe spring game. You're free, dude.
Well, it'll be fun. So looking forward to it. I already got my Gator shirt on, so already kind of repping it up. Got some Gator shorts. So it's a little weird, kind of uncomfortable not wearing duck gear, but I'll get used to it.
Hey, man.
I'll get used to it, I guess. Got to have a team somewhere around here.
Right.
Might as well be the Gators. If not, it's going to be Central Florida.
Go Knights.
Golden Knights.
Yes.
All right. So that will do it for us here at Sports Talk. And as always,
keep on talking sports.
Hey everyone, this is Big Man.
This is Cooper.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode, but be sure to check us out on our social medias.
On Facebook at Cooper Big Man.
Our Facebook page, Sports Talk with Cooper and Big Man.
On Twitter at Cooper_BigManST.
On Instagram, also at Cooper_BigManST.
At TikTok at sportstalk.cooper.bigman.
Or you can email us at sportstalkwithcooperinbigman. That's sportstalk, W-I-T, Cooper, the letter N, big man, and that's at gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in, and we love you guys for checking us out. Be sure to catch us on our next episode.